I don't know if some of you have noticed this, probably you have, that on the calendar for this year, Easter occurs at the end of this month. But Passover does not occur until next month. I got a call recently from a lady who was wondering about the calendar. And we were discussing it, and the discussion came around the fact that she knew of some that were considering keeping the Passover this month in March and not later in April. And we were discussing this because usually, you know, most times, it happened last year, Passover and Easter usually are very close together, but not this year. Why? Why is that? You know, each year as we enter into the holy day season, and, you know, we're not too far away actually from it, we do spend some time discussing why and when the holy days will be kept. And we introduce the topic to begin to consider the keeping of the holy days. And today we're going to look at some fascinating history, and we're going to discuss what is known as the Quarto Deciman controversy. Now, let me just spell that out because when I gave this in Rolla, some were saying it would have helped if you had spelled this. So, okay, here goes. You know, it starts with quart, like you spell quart, quarto, quart O, Deciman, D-E-C-I-M-A-N. And that's the title of the sermon. The Quarto Deciman controversy. Now, what does Quarto Deciman mean? It actually means 14. 14. And that's derived from Latin, and it refers to the practice of fixing the Passover on the 14th day of Nisan. Let's look at Leviticus 23. Let's look at Leviticus 23. Chapter I know we're all familiar with is the chapter of the holy days. And we see that it was not just Moses who was saying these things. It was the Lord spoke to Moses. So here God speaks to Moses and says the following. And we pick it up in verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. So here you find that these are the feasts of God. They are not feasts, you know, designed just for the Israelites, and not they didn't come up, you know, by Moses bringing this up. Their holy convocations mean that only God can make something holy. And they are to be proclaimed at their appointed times. And the only one who can appoint those times is to win these holy convocations is God. And so we see the first two. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. So you have the Passover on the 14th. And the first day of unleavened bread on the 15th. And so when you hear this word quarto decima or quarto deciman, it's referring to the fixed date of the Passover being on the 14th day. And it was considered to be a perpetual ordinance. Now, let's notice John 19. John 19. And in verse 30. John 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, it says they put it to his mouth. It doesn't say that he drank any of it. It just says when he had received it, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. He had died, and we know that, you know, the other places talk about that a soldier speared him and out came blood and water. So we know that he died by the shedding of his blood. Notice verse 31. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath. For that Sabbath was a high day. Now there's a couple of statements in here we got to note. Preparation day at that time was absolutely focusing in on that day before the high holy day. Not normally during every Sabbath of the year, but during the high holy day. And that the body should not remain on the cross on a Sabbath, and especially in this case, in parenthetical phrase, you find that the Sabbath was a high holy day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. And so you find some verification here that the preparation day was for the high holy day. And Jesus Christ died on that day. So he was crucified on the 14th. Now it's important to note that John confirms this because he was to be taken down. Criminals were to be taken down before the Sabbath or before the high holy day, which would have been on the 15th. For years after this, the Christians of Asia Minor in the East would always celebrate the Christian Passover on the 14th day of Nisan. Now, that did not always fall on a specific day of the week. It depended on when the first day of Nisan occurred, and then the 14th day when that occurred. The Roman Church, though, on the other hand, instead of keeping the Passover, started celebrating the death of Christ on a Friday and his resurrection on the Sunday following. And they use all kinds of manipulation to get 3 days and three nights between Friday evening and Sunday morning. And how they do it, it's just kind of different to see how they do it. But the emphasis became on the resurrection of our Savior. And yet you can look through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and you do not find any festival located in the Bible in which we are supposed to honor Jesus Christ's resurrection. Now, we believe he did rise, and we must believe he is our risen Savior. That's absolute. But a festival that honored that is not there. But what we do see is 1 Corinthians 11. Now, 1 Corinthians 11 was written, 30 years after this event, about 25 years after the crucifixion. And this is what Paul writes about the Passover. Notice 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. So we know he did this on the night of his arrest. And so that had to be at the beginning of the 14th day. That had to be in the evening portion, the beginning of the 14th day. And it says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken to you. Do this in remembrance of me, of my broken body, beaten body as well there. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, of what he did. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, which we do one time a year, on the 14th day, at evening, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is what Jesus Christ wanted us to remember, the time of his death and what he did regarding his sacrifice. The Schaffhauser Encyclopedia states the following. The gist of the Paschal controversy, or this Quarto Deciman controversy, was whether the Jewish Paschal day, Passover, whether it occurred on a Friday or not, or the Christian Sunday should control the idea and time of the entire festival. In other words, what was going to be the focus of this time period? Would it be the Passover, or would it be the Christian, they called it the Sunday, emphasizing the resurrection? One of the first discussions of this question took place between a fellow by the name of Polycarp and Anicetus, Bishop of Rome. Now, this was in about 150 AD, which means what we're reading now is not in the Bible. You know, John wrote and finished his writings in about 90 AD, so this is about 60 years later. And this is a historical account that is found in Ecclesiastical History, volume 4 on page 14. And this was written by a historian by the name of Eusebius. And he was talking about an account that was written by Irenaeus. Irenaeus was an early church leader of Rome, but he was in the East. And he gives an account here that has been quoted by Eusebius. And this is what happened in about 150 AD. When the blessed Polycarp was at Rome at the time of Anicetus, they disagreed on some things. But they made peace with one another because they didn't want to carry the quarrel over this matter. I'm kind of paraphrasing here. Neither could Anicetus persuade Polycarp not to observe what he had always observed with John, the disciple of our Lord, and the other apostles with whom he had associated. And neither could Polycarp persuade Anicetus to observe it as he said he ought to follow the customs of the presbyters that had preceded him. In other words, he was to follow the elders that had preceded him. This is an interesting statement. You have a man by the name of Polycarp in discussion with the Bishop of Rome saying, I'm not going to be convinced by you, and you're not going to convince me, and I can't convince you. And the issue was the Quarto Decimum controversy. In other words, the issue was about the 14th day. Now, who was Polycarp? Well, from this quote alone, we see that he knew the Apostle John, and he also knew the other apostles. We also know that he was keeping the Passover on the 14th day. And he wasn't convinced by this Anicetus to change his observance to that of the resurrection. Now, there's an interesting set of books. It's called the Anti-Nicene Fathers. Anti meaning before Nicaea. Nicaea was the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. And so these were people who wrote these books of history. And it's a huge volume, and it's fascinating reading. And this is what is quoted from Irenaeus, who was, again, a writer. And he talks about Polycarp. He said, Polycarp was not only instructed by the apostles and conversed with many who had seen Christ. Remember, there were about 500 who had seen Christ? The apostles had seen Christ? So he conversed with many by the apostles in Asia. He was appointed bishop of the church in Smyrna. Remember Smyrna? Ephesus, Smyrna was in Asia Minor. Continuing with the quote, Irenaeus mentions that when he was young, he met Polycarp. Here is a historical writer, a early Roman church writer, saying, I knew Polycarp. I met him. He always taught the things which he had learned from the apostles, which the church handed down and which were alone true. Unquote. So he acknowledges that he knew the apostles, this Polycarp, and also noted that he handed down the things that were true from the apostles. And then he quotes a story from what he heard from Polycarp about the Apostle John. Now, it's not in the Bible. We don't know it. We don't know if this occurred or not, but it's kind of interesting when you think about this, that Irenaeus is writing this down, that what Polycarp said about John at one time, he had gone to bathe at Ephesus. Now, that's where John stayed in Ephesus. You know, there was that time he was on the Isle of Patmos, but it was in Ephesus. And that he went to this bathhouse, but he perceived a guy by the name of Cerinthius was in it, in this bathhouse. Now, Cerinthius was a heretic with Gnostic ideas. Now, Gnosticism at that time, they believed that you receive salvation through knowledge. And the more knowledge you have, the more you will be able to be saved. And they did not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. They felt that the flesh was evil. So it was a heresy, a strong heresy that was coming into the church. And this guy, Cerinthius, was a heretic. Well, he writes this story that he said that John rushed out of the bathhouse without bathing, saying, "Let's fly." In other words, "Let's flee, lest even the bathhouse fall down because of Cerinthius, the enemy of the truth is within." Unquote. It'd be like us saying today, "Whoa, if somebody blasphemes, whoa, stay away from me. I don't want lightning coming down and striking you and striking me at the same time." So I find it kind of interesting. Whether this happened, I don't know, but it's in this history book showing that the Apostle John knew that these doctrines of Gnosticism were wrong and actually called out this guy. Okay. He also wrote this in his writings, this Irenaeus, about Polycarp. What Polycarp said, and this was in response to Marcion was another powerful Gnostic heretic, and this guy rejected all of the Old Testament, and he actually rejected the Gospel of Luke. We had just gone through showing how Luke said this is the account that is accurate about Jesus Christ and his life. And so he was a heretic. Now, so when Marcion, according to the story, met Polycarp on one occasion, that he asked Polycarp, "Do you know who I am?" And this was the response. Again, this is in this book. Polycarp said, "I do know you, the firstborn of Satan." Now, that was not politically correct. But he didn't mince words. Firstborn of Satan, he called him that. So it is a fascinating set of books to read. I have all the volumes of it, but they're also available online if you want to go look at them sometimes. Now let me give you the URL, I guess the link. I guess it's a sacred-texts.com. And you go to Early Church Fathers. And what's interesting, this is usually in volume one, and I'm reading from pages 30 and on. We have some writings of Polycarp. And when you go through, and we won't go through all of his writings, but some of his writings basically emphasize what you find in the Bible. And you just wonder about some of those writings. I mean, they're not part of Holy Scripture, but tell you, they sure have some very interesting statements. Let me read you one section here. "Whoever does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is Antichrist." And he said, "Whoever does not confess the testimony of the cross is of the devil. Whoever perverts the oracles of the Lord to his own lusts and says that there is neither a resurrection nor a judgment, he's the firstborn of Satan." Now that's why he said what he said to Marcion. "Wherefore, forsaking the vanity of many and their false doctrines, let us return to the word which has been handed down to us from the beginning." Let's go back to the word from the beginning. We're told that in Jude. Go back to the faith once delivered. So when we hear about this Quarto Decimum controversy, it was a very big thing occurring. And it was affecting the church. And they were being... You have this stressful time of where the Roman church was moving in this direction and going away from the Passover into this new belief system of the resurrection on a Sunday and calling it, of course, Easter. And so not only do we have this information about Polycarp, as he fought against it, there were others. Again, this, according to this in history, we go about 10 years later. As I said, this happened with Polycarp in about 150 AD. Now we're coming to about 170 AD. It's about 20 years later. And the controversy breaks out again in Laodicea. Laodicea was a church of God in Asia Minor, next to Philadelphia, and also Hierapolis. Hierapolis was close to Laodicea. And the bishop there was named Apollinarius. And according to the historian Lightfoot, Apollinarius knew Polycrates. Polycrates was a disciple of Polycarp. So you have three men now who are noted in history that went against the Roman church about Sunday being Easter, taking focus away from Passover being on the 14th. And we see that this Apollinaris was influenced by the example of Polycrates and Polycarp. Now this is on, in volume 8, page 772. This is what Apollinaris wrote. He said, "The 14th day, the true Passover of the Lord, the great sacrifice, the Son of God, instead of the Lamb who was bound and was delivered into the hands of sinners to be crucified, was lifted up and it was pierced in his holy side, who poured forth his his side water and blood, and was buried on the day of the Passover." Which he was. Remember, he was buried just before sunset, just before the beginning of the first holy day, and was placed in his tomb. So here Apollinaris is verifying what we see in Scripture. This is 170 A.D., the height of the controversy took place a little later, and this was in about 190, about the last decade of the second century. And at that time, there was a fellow by the name of Victor who was the bishop of Rome. And this guy had the belief that he had the right to demand that all churches, not only in the West but and in the East, conformed to the practices of his church, which was the Church of Rome. And the controversy actually ruptured the relationship between Rome and those there in Asia. Now this comes from volume 1 of the Nicene and Post-Nicene Fathers. This is in chapter 24. Victor, the bishop of Rome, stated that the day of the Lord's Passion is one replete with sadness and grief, and that it should not be lawful to celebrate the Lord's mystery of the Passover at any other time but on the Lord's day on which the resurrection of the Lord took place, and on which is also the cause of everlasting joy. In other words, what he is saying is, look, we're not going to focus on the mystery of the Passover on any other time of the year except on the Lord's Day, which was the day of the resurrection of the Lord on Sunday. And that's the time in which we have this everlasting joy. Totally disregarding Jewish chronology. Totally disregarding what the Bible says about the 14th day. The bishops of Asia, many of them who were in the true church, were led by Polycrates. He was the disciple of Polycarp, who associated with the disciples, was with the apostle John. And Polycrates decided to hold to the customs handed down to them. And so he wrote a letter to Rome. And this is what he wrote. He said, "We observe the exact day, neither adding to it nor taking away from it, for in Asia also great lights have fallen asleep." Now he's talking about people who had been lights to the world, and they had died. And he begins to mention that they will rise again on the day of the Lord's coming. He begins to list them. Among these are Philip, one of the 12 apostles, who fell asleep in Hierapolis. Kind of interesting to find out, you know, maybe where some of these apostles went. Well, we could find in this historical source that Philip died in Hierapolis, which wasn't too far from the city of Laodicea. Moreover, John, who was both a witness and a teacher, who reclined upon the bosom of the Lord, he fell asleep in Ephesus, according to this document. Polycarp of Smyrna, who was a bishop and martyr. Polycarp was killed for his beliefs. And Thrasius, bishop and martyr of Emania, who fell asleep in Smyrna. So you have another person who was killed. Why need I mention the bishop and martyr Sagarius, who fell asleep in Laodicea, or the blessed Papirius and Melito? He's naming other names of the lights of the church who have fallen asleep and believed. Notice what he writes. All these observed the 14th day of the Passover according to the gospel, deviating in no respect, but following the rule of faith. And I also, Polycrates, the least of all, do according to the tradition of my relatives, some of whom I have followed closely. Seven of my relatives were bishops. I am the eighth. My relatives always observe the day when the people put out the leaven. 14th day. Now, I know we begin to put out the leaven, but you know, most of the time we get rid of the final leaven on Passover, you know, before the night to be observed. We get rid of it on the 14th day. That's what we do. He goes on to say, I therefore, brethren, have lived 65 years in the Lord. I've met with the brethren throughout the world. I've gone through every holy scripture, and I'm not afraid by terrifying words. Those greater than I have said we ought to obey God rather than men. He is firm in his statements here. This is a letter going to the Bishop of Rome. And he's stating his position that we ought to obey God rather than man. We are going to keep the 14th day of the Passover and observe it as such. And then it says that he wrote all the bishops that were present with him, and they thought as he did. And so these words also follow. He said, I could mention the bishops who were present, whom I summoned at your desire, whose names, should I write them, would constitute a great multitude. So there were others who were supporting him in this letter to the bishop of Rome. And they, beholding my littleness, showing the man was humble. You know, my littleness, the least of all, they gave their consent to the letter, knowing that I did not bear my gray hairs in vain, but had always governed my life by the Lord Jesus. I've governed my life by Jesus Christ. Now, this is also found in the historical Ecclesiastica history as well. Well, Victor of Rome got the letter. And he immediately, at that point, attempted to cut off the common unity of all those in Asia with the churches that agreed with Polycarp. And he called all those who believed with Polycarp as heterodox, meaning that they were departing from established doctrine. This was what he decided. And he went on to say that the articles, it goes on to say that he wrote letters, declared all the brethren their holy excommunicae, meaning they were excommunicated, no longer part. I don't believe that the early church was ever part of the Roman church. You know, the Roman church was going one direction. The true righteous church was going another direction. But here in the case, anyone who believed in the 14th day of the first month as the Passover was excommunicated. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of those people. This was some serious persecution coming in. And the whole world was beginning to follow this particular idea that the Passover was of the Jews and the resurrection is of the Christians. So it wasn't until 325 AD, the Council of Nicaea, that the decision that was reached by Victor earlier in about 190 was declared binding on the whole church, and that the old Asiatic practice of the 14th day of the first month was condemned. What happened is that that decision was accepted by many in Asia, and we know by the rest of the world. And history shows that only scattered churches continued to cling to the practice of the earlier Asiatics, meant that just there were a few scattered groups that kept the 14th day, the first month, as Passover, and they were branded as heretics. Now, it's also interesting that it wasn't until after the Council of Nicaea that the Roman Church adopted when Easter Sunday would fall. Now, one wonders where they got this idea, and you have to go into history to see, well, where did Easter come from? Where were the roots of Easter? Well, this is what they adopted. They adopted that Easter Sunday would be kept on the first Sunday following the full moon after the vernal equinox. Okay? I don't see that in Leviticus. You know, about, well, wait a minute now. You keep the first Sunday following the full moon after the vernal equinox. So this year, it is on March 25th through 27th. Passover is not then. It's not at the same time. Why is that? Because the dates, March 25th to 27th, are not in the month of Abib, or the first month of the Hebrew calendar. Remember what happened last month? February 29th was a leap year. Well, as we have leap years, so too does the Jewish calendar have leap years. They're called intercalary years. And we too are in a Jewish leap year. And if you go to any Jewish calendar, you will see that we are in the month of Adar the second. And that is added every few years in a 19-year time cycle to keep the calendar in sync with the seasons. It's a fascinating work of art, actually, to see how this all works, to keep it in the seasons. And so the month of Nisan does not occur until April next month. And yet, there are some people who, for whatever reason, feel, well, we got to keep Passover this month, because they're basing it on when Easter falls after this vernal equinox instead of the 14th day of the first month. They say, well, how can you add that extra month? Well, because it's part of the Hebrew calendar. And we have a whole article on this. It's a rather lengthy article on Life Hope, not Life Hope, on Kagwa, the member's site. It's called the Hebrew Calendar. It's very detailed, and it's quite a bit of, I would find, fascinating information in it. But if people keep Passover this month, they're not keeping it in the month of Nisan. They're not keeping it on the 14th day of the first month. And we cannot follow the Roman calendar to determine when the holy days occur, but we use the Hebrew calendar. So as we saw in Leviticus, we see that we are to proclaim the upcoming holy days when they occur. And so as we wrap the sermon up, I want to do that now. Let's look at Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 1. Observe the month of Abib, and that means green ears, and focusing on green ears of barley. Keep the Passover to the Lord your God. So in that month, so that's the first month. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. So let's look at Exodus 12. Exodus 12 and verse 2. We see this month is the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So we have to keep the Passover in the first month. And it's on the 14th day of the month. So this year we're going to be keeping Passover. Passover falls on Friday, April 22nd. However, as we read in 1 Corinthians 11, the New Testament Passover occurred at the beginning of the 14th, you know, on the night when Christ was betrayed and arrested. And so that we keep it at sunset on Thursday evening, April 21st. So that's where when we will be keeping it, Thursday evening, April 21st. Now, it's later this year, so we wait until after sunset, and we're going to have two Passover services here in the area. One here in the St. Louis area will be at the Hampton Inn. That's off Old Dorset Road. That's where the old Quality Inn used to be. That is where we're going to be keeping it. We only have room for 40, so it's going to be a little tight. But everyone who lives in Missouri, we're encouraging you to be there at the Hampton Inn in St. Louis. And then for those of you living in Illinois, we are going to once again meet in Collinsville at the Comfort Inn, and both services will begin at 7:45. That's the beginning of sunset that evening, Friday, April 22nd. Okay, then we find that just a few more comments about this. This is only for baptized members who made the commitment to accept Jesus Christ's blood, shed blood for sin. We encourage you to bring a towel, Bible, and hymnal. The service lasts for about an hour. It is not a holy day, but it is a festival of God. And we know that on that Friday, it is a day that one could work, and we get rid of the rest of the leaven. But it is a day we should do all of our best, if at all possible, to meet, to keep the Passover. We shouldn't miss it, but if something happens where, you know, somebody's in the hospital or whatever, there, God thankfully gives instructions that we could keep the second Passover on the month following, but all of us want to do our very best to try to keep the first Passover on that first evening, on Thursday evening, the 21st. All right. Let's look at verse 42 here, Exodus 12, verse 42. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. So on Friday night, April 22nd, is the night to be observed. We gather together to share a meal, and people do it differently, and some have people over at their homes. That's fine. Some, you know, maybe a couple or two will go out to eat. You know, that's fine as long as it's kind of in a private area. St. Louis, most will be meeting at the Orlando Gardens facility at that lodge there that we were last year. And I know down in Rolla we're going to have a potluck meal. But it's a joyous evening. It's celebrating the beginning of the first day of unleavened bread, and it's called the night to be observed, as we see here. And it's a reminder of Israel coming out of Egypt and our coming out of the sins of this world. And if you don't have plans yet, please let us know, because we'd like to help you enjoy this evening. We want you to be part of it, and we still have room over at the Orlando Garden facility. And we'll have more details in the next few weeks on that. That'll start about 7:30. We feel that we can begin the meal a little earlier before sunset, because most of the meal will be eaten after sunset and be enjoying the meal afterwards. Also on that day, the 14th, before we get to that evening, all leaven needs to be removed from the houses, needs to be removed from our cars, needs to be removed from our desk at work. Now, it doesn't mean you go to all the other desks of people. It's just your desk. You look at the foods that you eat, and I'm going to have to forego my favorite cereal because Crispix has baking soda in it. So you can't use that, you can't eat that. So, you know, we should be making sure that all of our leaven is removed. As we know that we find here in Exodus 13, let's look at Exodus 13, verse 6. Exodus 13, verse 6. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there will be a feast to the Lord. We saw earlier in Leviticus that there was a holy day on the first day of unleavened bread, and then there's a holy day on the last day of unleavened bread. And so on April 23rd, it is also the weekly Sabbath, and it's the first day of unleavened bread. Each congregation will meet in its own place. We'll have services in Rolla that morning and in St. Louis in the afternoon. Now, we're moving the services a little later each day. So our service here in St. Louis will start at 3 o'clock on April 23rd, and we're going to be meeting at Creve Coeur. So it is also a time in which we will collect the Holy Day offering. And so that'll be taken up as well on that first Holy Day. Now, the seventh day of unleavened bread, and we see that, you know, the seventh day, well, there'll be a feast to the Lord, and unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. No unleavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. We must make sure that we are not eating leaven that day, and it is appropriate to eat unleavened bread, and it would be good to do that all through the feast of unleavened bread, to eat unleavened bread. So services that day will be on Friday, the last day of unleavened bread, on April 29th, and it will be held at Creve Coeur, and it will be combined. Rolla is planning to come up for that. Services will begin at 10:30 and again at 2 o'clock. We will have a potluck lunch during that time. Makes it much easier just to stay there and enjoy the meal. We're looking forward to that weekend. Our kids are coming in, so our whole family will be together for that holy day and that Sabbath, and looking forward to that. These days are going to come quickly. We're 6 weeks away. They're going to be here real quick. I mean, before we know it, we're all going to be getting ready to go to Passover, and before long, we'll be here at the last day of unleavened bread. I mean, they're at Creve Coeur for the last day of unleavened bread. Many of the church members in the second century had to fight hard to keep what they were taught. They had to go against the society that was moving in such a way that was toward paganism, and yet they had to maintain their faith as to what they've been taught. And to think about it, here we are in 2016, and we are following what the apostles taught, what their disciples taught. And you see it in history, in early history, is that the holy days, the feast, and the Passover especially, was kept on the 14th day of the first month. So we will do as they did, as the Bible shows. And in conclusion, then, let's look at one other scripture, Second Chronicles 35. Second Chronicles 35, and let's look at verse 1. Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem. They slaughtered the lambs on the 14th day of the first month. But what's interesting, you see, they kept the Passover, and they kept it on the 14th day of the first month. But let's look at verse 17 now. The children of Israel who were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. There had been no Passover kept in Israel like it since the days of Samuel the prophet. This goes back a long time, and it says that none of the kings of Israel had kept such a Passover. That includes the time of David and the time of Solomon. And it's just amazing. The priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel who were present, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they kept it in the 18th year of Josiah. They enjoyed it. It was a glorious time. It was a time in which they really, truly honored God and His ways. And so too we can have the same thing. We can have a glorious time. We can know for certain, as we are keeping these days, that they are most meaningful to God. They are His holy days. And we can know that we're keeping them on the same days as Christ kept them, the apostles kept them, and all those who followed and were continuing in that belief of keeping the Passover on the 14th day and the Feast of Unleavened Bread beginning on the 15th day. So let's again plan to keep these days holy.